Good afternoon. I'm calling the Tax Committee meeting to order for January 18th, 2023. We have a quorum with us today. First order of business is for Vice Chair Norris. Have you had a chance to check out the minutes from January 17th?
I have.
Would you like to move them?
I would like to move the minutes from the January 17th meeting of the Tax Committee.
Perfect. Is there any discussion on the motion? Not seeing any. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say nay. All right. The motion is adopted. More minutes from January 17th. Okay. So today we're going to hear from the Legislative Budget Office about the Tax Expenditure Review Commission. Gregory Davids and I'm sorry, I just read your name tag instead of calling you Representative Davids. Representative Davids and I never have called you Gregory, but that's great. Okay, we'll refrain from that in the future then. Representative Davids and I, apparently I can do what I want. We're members of the Tax Expenditure Review Commission. We actually had a number of members from both bodies who have retired from the legislature. So there is an exciting opportunity for new blood on the Tax Expenditure Review Commission, I'm just saying. I just wanted to, and I would invite Representative Davids to also offer any kind of context or comments he wants before we move into receiving the report of the commission, which is part of the sort of statutory requirement is every year, the commission produces this report, and then they come and present it to the tax committees in both bodies. I guess I will say, I think that Chair Marquardt, when he was the chair of this committee, was the chief author, and Senator Tombach was the chief author in the other body of these efforts. And we'll hear a little bit of context about tax expenditures at the front from Mr. Wereka. But I just wanted to offer some thoughts, I guess, because this was something that, like, once I got into the legislature and I learned about this great document here, which is the tax expenditure budget, which is published every other year by the Department of Revenue. And we talked a little bit about the way that the reports are the timeline for them is switching. So, like, one year they'll do this, and then the next year they'll do the incidence analysis. And so as a new tax member, I got this and I dug into it, and I was really surprised by some of the things in here, I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if you guys have the figure about how much the overall budget is for tax expenditures, but it's a lot of money. It's at least $1 billion, if not much more. But I think it's in the billions of dollars. I don't know. Well, they're checking that out. I guess I'll just offer a couple of comments. There are a lot of there's sort of concerns about the way that we analyze expenditures in the tax expenditure budget versus the way that we analyze direct appropriations in our Appropriations Committee. I think it would be like an exaggeration maybe to call it a black box, but I would say that it doesn't receive the same rigorous analysis that other parts of our budget do. And oftentimes, even over the few years that I've been here, and I'm sure that Representative Davids can provide some more context on this, it's sort of like stuff that we feel like is harder to do in the Appropriations Committees ends up getting like shoved into taxes. I mean, we've all kind of seen that if we've been around. The tax bill is like the last train leaving the station. So if there's sort of a weird, odd thing, it might get shoved into the tax bill. And so consequently, there are some interesting things in here. I'm just looking through coin-operated amusement devices, prizes at carnival fairs. These are like things that we're exempting from sales tax, the general sales and use tax. There are also some really amazing things in the tax expenditure budget that I think like support individuals, support families, support businesses to be competitive, that do align with some of the principles I think that we all bring to discussions about tax policy. But there's what's called the open space. I'm pulling out a couple of my faves. like least faves, if you didn't pick that up. Open space property, for example. So this is for a property tax exemption for private golf courses, gun and archery ranges, and ski resorts. And we spend $18 million offsetting their property tax liability. Or that will be in 2023. Racehorses are exempt from sales tax. That will cost almost $2 million in 2023. And so it is like, you know, when there's like an intent for all of these things that ended up in this book. And what the Tax Expenditure Review Commission and this sort of body of work that was, again, put forward by kind of a number of people over the years in both chambers is really about kind of examining, like, what's the intent of the open space property tax expenditure? And is that the best way that we can spend $18 million? You know, if the intent is to give communities access to more green space, is that the right way to spend $18 million a year? Or is there sort of another direct appropriation maybe that would achieve that intent of providing communities access to green space without basically like subsidizing a private kind of companies like offsetting their property tax bill? And so I think broadly that's the what the Tax Expenditure Review Commission has been designed to do. There have been different approaches to putting statements of intent, purpose statements in statute when we pass a new tax expenditure. And like we have a policy on our side that we include them. The other body does not include them. But some of these, you kind of have to go back and dig through the historical record to see, like, what was the intent when this was passed? And so what the TURC, they'll present, you know, sort of the charge and their work and our work so far. But it's really about kind of bringing transparency and legibility to this part of our budget, which is like this kind of big chunk of money that doesn't necessarily get the other scrutiny, to ensure that you know, we know what they're designed to do and that we have kind of evaluation metrics to see whether they're achieving that desired goal. So it's like sort of a simple thing, but actually a complex undertaking, and looking forward to hearing more about it from Mr. Wereka. But I don't know, Representative Davids, if you have any comments about tax expenditures or the work of the Tax Expenditure Review Commission that you wanted to offer.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I have had the privilege of serving on that commission with you, and I did ask to re-up on that, so hopefully I can get back on there. That decision, I don't think, has been made yet, but I did request it. So, and it's not $1 billion. I think it's like $39 Less. Billion. Yeah. Dollars. billion thank here, you. Billion there, pretty
soon. I was
soon,
like, billions.
You, yeah. And it is interesting because all tax expenditures are bad except the ones I get. Those are good ones. And, for example, you mentioned golf courses, gun ranges. I would say if you did not have the tax expenditures for those two, you probably wouldn't have them. They're usually not for profits, not always. But I know when I go to the annual meeting for the Preston golf course, we're very, very thankful if we break even. Our goal is to break even so we can keep the place open. And that's the case across the state with hundreds of golf courses and gun ranges. So that's kind of the reason for that. A lot of them are not-for-profits. We want to keep them open, and if we took away that tax expenditure, they'd be closed. So you do need to go through these, and some of them you kind of scratch your head and say, well, where'd that come from? What's that all about? But there's a reason for each one of them. I don't know if it's a good reason, but there's a reason. And like I said before, the only thing tougher than passing a law is repealing one. Mm-hmm. These expenditures get a constituency that I could, when I go through that report, I go through, nah, I better leave that one alone. Maybe we leave this one alone too. But and that's why we review them, and we need to review them. We need to see is the taxpayers' money being well spent. So I'm interested in hearing the report here, and hopefully I get reappointed to the commission. Have you appointed, Madam Chair, has anybody been appointed on the DFL side?
Representative Davids, not yet, but we were just talking about it today, and I don't want to ruin the surprise, but I would love to reappoint you. I know, a sigh of relief.
No, I'm so excited.
I know. And I do just want to say that Representative Davids brought up a great point, which is every tax expenditure is terrible except the one that I support, right? Because I carried this legislation, and then I will say that, you know, as the chair of the Homelessness Committee in 2021, I passed this county aid for preventing homelessness, for family homelessness. And I'm really proud of it, and it's going to appear in this budget, and maybe somebody's going to be like, what the hell is this? Excuse me. But that is sort of this tension, right, is that I'm feeling as a new tax chair, because, you know, I was talking to staff, and I'm like, I want to do good tax policy. I care about the overall, you know, I care about our tax base. I care about protecting the revenue that we need to do the things that our communities expect us to deliver for them. And then also I have my own, you know, issues that my constituents care about, that my community cares about, that I care about as somebody who just cares deeply about homelessness and about housing and about, you know, economic opportunity for all people and about racial equity and about, you know, I have so many things that I'm passionate about, and we all have to, as we're in these seats, right, we have to balance our own kind of perspectives and what we bring with us to this work with this concern for the whole and this concern for every community in Minnesota and this bigger picture of, like, you know, if we are going to spend $2 million, do we want to spend it on making sure that people don't have to pay taxes on their racehorses? I mean, it's a little bit of money, but it all kind of adds up in the end. So thanks for allowing those opening remarks before we turn over to Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your recognition. And your first comment, and you re-mentioned it, the $2 million to the racehorse industry on sale of horses, I would kind of support Chair Davids' notion that there are reasons why we have that. The vice chair of the tax committee near Running Aces, I don't know if that's exactly in your district, but down in the South Metro, we have Canterbury Park. And I would guess, without looking at the history of that particular policy, it's become a $400 million industry in the state. And so I just, I think your point is well taken that there are reasons why we have these expenditures. I like that we should question their effectiveness and stuff. And so I look forward to the testimony, but I did want to share that there's a $400 million industry that has grown in this state and continues to grow. And I hope it continues to thrive as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Representative Kosnick. I feel like right here we're exploring we're seeing the difficulty, right, of grappling with these things, because there, you know, there is an intent to every one of the items in this budget. And I think that's a great segue to turn it to Mr. Wereka from the Legislative Budget Office for us to talk about the work of the Tax Expenditure Review Commission. Welcome.
Chair, for the record, my name is Carlos Whitaker with the Legislative Budget Office. So per statute, our office is tasked with providing professional technical assistance to the commission. So in that capacity, I'm going to provide an overview of the commission's report today. So today I'm going to provide some background on the commission itself. I'll highlight some of the statutory requirements that inform the Commission's first legislative report. I'll summarize some of the contents of the Commission, the Commission's report. And I'll close with a brief review of those tax expenditures that were included in 2022's reviews. So I'll just start off with the statutory definition of a tax expenditure. It's on your slides. I won't read off the definition to you. But this is the definition that the Commission operates under by statute. So you may hear these policies described as spending through the tax code or as providing preferential treatment to certain individuals, certain groups, certain taxpaying entities. And ultimately, these are essentially policies written to law where the legislature has decided to forego on what would otherwise be potential revenue to the state under the normal tax structure. And so I would refer to members to the tax expenditure budget, which the chair referenced. there's a lot of information there as to the state's tax expenditures. And that document was really the guidepost for the commission's work. So just some background on the commission itself. It was enacted in 2021 under the first special session under section 3.8855. And per statute, the complement of the commission includes 8 voting members, legislative members, and then a 9th member, which is the commissioner of the Department of Revenue. There are also 2 positions that are held for the chairs of the tax committee in the House and the Senate. Those are non-voting members. So whether they're appointed to the commission or not, they have 2 spots reserved, 1 each. And so the commission was established to review Minnesota's tax expenditures and to evaluate their effectiveness and fiscal impact. Duties related to this charge are further outlined in statute. There are specific components of review that the commission has to consider when evaluating each tax expenditure. There's 9 of them, and I'll go through them. And perhaps most notable is a recommendation to either continue a tax expenditure, to modify a tax expenditure, or to repeal it altogether. And then an important requirement is, of course, this legislative report, which is due to the legislature on December 15th. And so this report was provided last year. Just some more background. These are the members that consisted of the commission this past term. So all the members on this slide, their term ended technically at the start of this regular session, and new appointments are to be made by the 31st of this month. And that's a 2-year term. And I should say also, membership for this last term was not finalized until January 2022. So these members did not get a full year term. They got about 1 year to complete some of this. Okay. So I'll talk about the duties a little bit more here. So essentially the statute separates the duties of the commission into 2 phases. There's this initial phase, which is about a 3-year phase, where the commission really focuses on establishing purpose statements for these tax expenditures if they did not have one in the enacted statute. The commission also focuses on identifying metrics to evaluate these expenditures. And so that's the first 3 years of this commission. And then going forward from year 4 and on, each tax expenditure has to go under a more rigorous analysis, which includes these 9 components of review that I'll go over. And each one of these tax expenditures has to be reviewed once every 10 years. Also, it's important to note that the commission may choose to not review any tax expenditures that were adopted to conform to federal code. So briefly, I'll go over the 9 components of review here. These are the first 5. And so the commission, this is now in year 4 and on. The commission has to consider the annual revenue lost as a result of each tax expenditure. And so currently the tax expenditure budget provides an estimate of what this is. So the commission has to consider that estimate. They have to consider the purpose of the tax expenditure, the impacts and efficiency and efficiency in accomplishing the purpose. They have to compare how this tax expenditure performs compared to a direct expenditure, which is an alternative route to achieving a common goal. They also have to consider potential modifications to make the tax expenditure more efficient and effective. The commission has to consider the amount that a tax rate would have to be reduced by to achieve the same revenue loss, but spread across the entire tax base, so not just those individuals that claim this tax expenditure. Also, they have to consider the incidence of the tax expenditure, so essentially who pays, who's left with the tax burden as a proportion of their income. And I believe the Department of Revenue is going to speak on incidence more at the next committee meeting, so I won't steal any of the thunder. Also, the commission has to consider the fiscal impacts of other state and federal taxes, providing benefits to taxpayers for similar activities. And then finally, as I mentioned already, provide a recommendation as to continue, repeal, or modify the tax expenditure that can be reviewed. So I just want to provide a timeline of the commission for folks. So the enacting statute was signed into law in July 1, 2021. The commission appointments, the member appointments to the commission were finalized in January of 2022. The commission didn't meet until April of 2022. And then four meetings were then took place to conduct more of this expenditure. And then going forward, as I already mentioned, appointments have to be finalized by January 31st. I can speak a little bit to the meetings here as well. So over the course of these four meetings from July 2022 through November 2022, the commission heard from the Tax Research Division on the tax expenditure budget, which we've already mentioned. They heard from Dr. Laura Columbakidis, the state economist, on the 2011 tax expenditure review report. She was one of the contributing authors to that report, so she spoke in that capacity in the report. And those recommendations from that report really aligned to what eventually became the Tax Expenditure Review Commission. So that kind of represents some of the state's earlier work towards tax expenditure reviews. The commission also heard from John Hammond of the Tax Incentives Project at Pew Trust. And Mr. Hammond provided an overview of this tax expenditure review work across other states. So we're not the first state to do this. There's other states that we've been learning from. We've been doing this type of work. And I'll just mention that the commission's webpage is linked in the report so that members can find committee material, video recordings of those commission hearings as well. So there are two provisions that really shape the structure of this report that I want to highlight. I've already touched on this a little bit, but I think it's important to note. So subdivision 4 of section 3.8855 states that in the first 3 years, the commission should focus on identifying purpose statements and metrics to evaluate those tax expenditures against. And then subdivision 7 states that during the period of initial review, the commission's report may be limited to purpose statements and metrics for evaluating the effectiveness of tax expenditures. Additionally, the report may also include publicly available data on those tax expenditures. So again, I just want to point these two provisions out to help explain the scope of this report in this first year. So just a quick overview of the contents. I've kind of discussed some of these items already. But the report contains the commission membership at the time that the report was provided to the legislature, a review of the commission's duties and responsibilities, with an emphasis on these initial review tax expenditure duties, an overview and summary of these meetings, which I provided a brief overview of over the interim. And the report provides some general background information on tax expenditures and highlights some of the past efforts at the state level and at the federal level to review tax expenditures. So ultimately, the commission considered 11 tax expenditure objectives with presentations presented by staff of the LDO on each one of those 11 tax expenditures. And the commission decided to take no formal action on these 11 tax expenditures at the time of that hearing. So just for members, the LBO develops a process to review tax expenditures to identify a purpose statement. And this process was presented to the commission, and it was reviewed by the commission. So this is the process that was applied to try and identify purpose statements as best as we can. So as the slide suggests, the legislative record is the priority reference, resource reference. And so the idea here is that the legislative record would be the most accurate reference in terms of purpose or intent of Minnesota bill authors. And then next, we would or we do, we reference comparable legislation in other states, confirming that the policy design is comparable to that in Minnesota. And then we also reference academic and industry consensus. Okay, and so on the screen now, and on slide 13, are the 11 tax expenditures that were reviewed in 2022. So as I've mentioned, the tax expenditure objective was presented for each one of these tax expenditures to the commission. Again, no action was taken by the commission. Factors taken into account in selecting these 11 tax expenditures include a variety of tax types, avoiding federal conformity tax expenditures, availability of research data at the time, and the fact that these tax types are among some of the major revenue sources for the state. So, Madam Chair, members, that's a really brief overview of the content of the report and what was provided for the point of the report. Happy to answer your question.
Thank you so much, Mr. Wareka. So we have a copy of the Turk report. Should be in all of our files. And I'll just say that the sort of bulk of the work is in Appendix B, which starts on page 35. So it goes through each of those 11 expenditures that Mr. Wareka just had on the last slide. And I just want to say just really, I believe, just reflects incredible work, a lot of work. It became evident to me as we were going through it. It's like, oh, you know, it's not simple to kind of establish the intent of some of these laws, that you really do have to go back and dig through the record and check out what's happening in other states. So I hope people will take the time to look at the, it's kind of like, you know, the last 20 pages of the report or so. And I'm looking around to see if there's any questions or comments from anybody. Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, our credits for on personal income taxes considered a tax expenditure,
Mr. Wareka, and if there's anything that you would like to rather to defer to nonpartisan staff, that are more general questions, we're happy to do that. So let me know.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Representative, yes, those are included in the tax expenditure budget.
Representative Anderson?
Thank you. Sorry.
Did you have anything?
Okay. I was just going to reference that, again, the tax expenditure budget really provides a good breakdown of the different tax sites.
Okay.
Oh, and I know that Mr. McQuillan actually just sent the latest version of the tax expenditure budget to your emails. Somebody kind delivered this to us when the latest one came out. So I think when a new report comes out, I think some Department of Revenue fairy person delivers us a hard copy, but it should be in your email now. And so are you good, Representative Anderson? Great. To Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a general question maybe to either the testifier or Chair Gomez or Representative Davids. In putting this all together and all the work you did, what was the biggest challenge you found? Just curious.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think the biggest challenge for me was what I talked a little bit earlier about is that you've got all these expenditures, tax expenditures, $39 billion. And that seems like a very, very big number. But as you dig into it, like I said, every one of these has a constituency and nobody wants to let it go. And so that's the part that I found not only interesting but tough, because if you know, and what is the purpose of the commission? Is it to just analyze what it is, or is it to do something about it? And so that's kind of where we're at, and the meetings will continue, and we'll continue to visit about where we want to be. And if there's a big movement to remove one, then it'll have to go through the process. If there's a big movement to get one back, well, we have to remember home interest mortgage is a tax expenditure. Now, how many of you want to, I need a show of hands, how many of you want to get rid of that? You know? Well, there, yeah, and
we'll
and
talk
hey,
more about it.
We'll talk more about that. I mean, I'd rather eat broken glass or watch paint dry than do that, because there are some that might like to hear that, but middle-class homeowners, that's a big deal. And it allows people to be in a home and keep stay in a home. So it's, you know, that's why I wanted to get on this commission again, because we've got a lot of work to do, and so far it's been more of what are they doing. We haven't really gotten the nitty-gritty of, you know, let's get rid of this one or rid of that one. And we may come to that, and we may find some real clinkers in there. But so far it's been, there's a reason for that.
Thank you, Representative Davids.
A $39 billion
reason. Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually have a similarly broad question, and maybe it's a nice, that answer kind of connects nicely, not about the home interest deduction, but just about the challenge. Is there anything, I noticed that a few of these do have an expiration date, and I guess I'm wondering, maybe not so much to the testifier, maybe to the chair or to Lee Davids, but I mean, has there been much of a culture at any point of having these things be time limited, so at least the default is actually they go away, and then we have to make the choice to continue to exempt sales tax on racehorses or golf courses, or just to sort of have that structural change? This is my first time on taxes, and I'm wondering whether that's been at all part of the culture or possibly could be.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. I mean, I guess I'll say that I'm trying to remember. I'm actually looking to the audience, to our former tax CA who's here. But I know that in, I believe it was 2021, that there was a six-year sunset. I can ask John's. Okay, maybe I'll just defer to Mr. Williams on that one so that I'm not harassing audience members. Mr. Williams.
Chair Gomez and Representative Pinto, so it was actually in the enacting legislation for the Tax Expenditure Review Commission. There's a requirement in Section 3.192 that says any bill that proposes a new tax expenditure must include an expiration date within 6 years. And so that's a new requirement as of 2021, and it's up to the legislature to sort of make those policy choices and to determine whether or not they are actually included with those expiration dates, but that's sort of an assumption that's in statute as of now.
And Representative Pinto, I'll just say that we haven't bumped up against it yet, right? So we haven't actually dealt with an expiring expenditure that we then have to take a look at and see if we want to re-implement it, which I think is kind of where the rubber will meet the road as we're moving forward with expenditures.
Quick follow-up. Thank you, Madam Chair. So just a quick follow-up, but have we at least observed that requirement, because of course we can waive statutory requirements, but have we been observing it that tax expenditures since 21, maybe we've had some trouble passing any exposes, I think about it. I'm not sure there have been any since then, but if there have been, have they actually complied with that, Madam Chair? Or...
Representative Pinto. I'll just go to Mr. Williams.
Chair Gomez and Representative Pinto, could you please restate the question?
Oh, sorry.
Madam Chair, my question, Mr. Williams, was have we in fact been complying with that statutory requirement, maybe even as much whether tax bill became law, at least in terms of what we've been moving forward, have we been complying with that, or have we waived our own requirement, which, let's face it, we sometimes do?
Mr. Williams.
Chair Gomez and Representative Pinto, I was just answering the same question for Representative Davids. So we haven't enacted a tax bill since that requirement was put into statute, but the 2021 omnibus tax bill did include a number of tax expenditures that were new. Some of them expired, but not all of them did in the 2021 tax bill.
And Representative Pinto, I'll just add that you know, we have put it in the it's been in the House tax position since that was implemented. But then, you know, I think we go into negotiation with the other body and then figure that out in conference committee. Yeah. Thank you. So Representative Agbaje.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to talk a little bit about the purpose statements that saw in the presentation that there was research being done on the purpose statements, and wondering if there was discussion among the committee about the future of requiring purpose statements for future tax expenditures.
Thank you, Representative Agbaje. There actually was extensive discussion about that in the committee, and it's sort of a place where the practices of the two bodies of the legislature have diverged. I think if I'm just going to be frank about it, I know that the House has intentionally, you know, added these as we have passed tax expenditures, which I'll ask Mr. Williams, because I believe that there was legislation at some point requiring that we do that we include purpose statements when we're passing new expenditures.
Chair Gomez and Representative Bajaj, that's correct. So that it was in 2011, there was a requirement enacted that bills proposing new tax expenditures include a statement of purpose and then a standard of effectiveness by which the tax expenditure could be evaluated.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. So I will say, though, that although that is in statute as of 2011, that the House has included that in ours and the Senate has not. And I believe that coming out of conference committee, that that they have not been included generally in the final versions of expenditures that have been enacted into law. And I guess I'm looking at Mr. Williams to see if that's accurate or not, because I'm not tracking all the details of
Chair Gomez, it's sort of varied from tax bill to tax bill. Some of them have been included. I think it's accurate to describe historically the House versions of the omnibus tax bill have included these, and it's sort of varied whether or not the enacted legislation also included them.
Yeah, and Representative Agbaje, I also, though, this is having this the Tax Expenditure Review Commission, which is a separate body from the legislature, and sort of establish purpose statements or objective statements and not adding them into statute has been sort of a proposed kind of middle ground between, I think, the approaches of the two bodies to purpose statements. Because it has been the tradition of the Senate not to add purpose statements in general to statute, but you know, kind of having this sort of independent body helping to dig in more maybe gets at some of the challenges that the inclusion of purpose statements in 2011 was intended to address. So I don't know if you have any other questions, Rep. Agbaje. Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? All right. I'm not seeing any. So tomorrow we're going to hear a tax incident study overview, and we're going to adjourn the meeting a little early. Thanks so much for being here, everyone. We're adjourned.